Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Disney is more than doubling its fleet of cruise ships over the next 7 years, and Alaska Airlines has a new four-state pass program. But we say, buyer beware. Those stories and more next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25, Mark relates a taxi experience they had last week in Detroit and gives you some tips for not getting skewered like he did. Did you really pay $25 for a two-mile ride?
I absolutely did. And skewered really isn't the word that I would use. But at 11:35, we update you on a charity event that has become a huge annual project. I attended their fundraising dinner in Winners last Sunday, and boy, was it fun. I'll tell you about how you can help out with the Wreath Project.
Well, we're going to go skipping through our odds and ends portion of the show at 11:50. Disney has a new line skipping ticket, and American Airlines has won a victory over the skip lagging website.
It's 11 o'clock on a Saturday, and the regular crowd rushes in. Welcome to this week's edition of The Travel Guys.
Well, ready or not, here we are, live and direct, Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, along with Justine, our producer, ready to make you a smarter traveler, all of it brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Okay, Mark, big day yesterday. We didn't talk a lot about it leading up to yesterday, but it's probably one of the biggest events for Sports Leisure Vacations, and that was to tour preview day.
Yeah, we rented the Sophia Theater downtown, which I want to just say here is a really beautiful venue. And so for those of you who are like meeting planners or you have a group coming to town or something, the theater sits like 370 or 80 people. It's a really nice venue. There's a parking garage attached to it. The people who run the theater, Amanda and her gang, are just really incredibly nice people. So for those of you who are defaulting to hotel, I mean, you know, they don't serve food there. It would be a meeting place. But for those of you who are defaulting to big corporate hotel spaces and stuff like that, this would be something for you to think about. It's really a really, really, really nice space downtown. And so the Sophia, that's the home of the old B Street Theater. So if you are already a supporter, good. And if you're not, why, this is the time. If you're a supporter of the arts in general, this is a good time to step up. A lot of these folks never recovered their audiences from COVID, and they could really use your help. So if it's something that you care about, better to support it now than to wake up one morning and find out that your favorite place isn't there anymore. So anyways, yes, we had tour preview day for Sports Leisure Vacations at the Sophia yesterday. About 550 of our followers, of our travel club members, turned out and picked up a copy of our new catalog, and we rolled out 36 new tours, and our phones are going to go crazy on Monday morning, and at least I hope so. And so, yeah, no,
there was a... 36 new tours?
Yeah, 36.
Holy cow.
Well, and including like another Asian cruise. It starts in Hong Kong and ends in Singapore. Now, I'm not a cruise guy, but, and it stops in Bangkok along the way. So, I mean, there's three really cool cities that you could polish off on one, not to mention all of the stops along the way. We had a lot of really cool stuff. One of my staff put together a trip to Lexington, Kentucky, which is kind of the horse capital of the country, and tied it in with some pre-Churchill Downs Kentucky Derby activities in Louisville, which has a big fireworks show to kick off the whole Kentucky Derby festival there. And oh gosh, a whole lot of really great. I'm going to take a trip to New York in the spring with that has a really great show lineup and just some really cool stuff. You can get a catalog by calling us. If you call Monday, it'll be impossible to get through. But you can go to sportsleisure.com and request one, and we'll mail you one. If you're already a travel club member and didn't get to the event, they went in the mail Friday from the folks at Commerce Printing. Really good people. And so you'll get one in the mail, and it'll also be on live, be live online Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock. So if you're a Sports Leisure traveler already, or if you're a mature traveler and you've heard us babble for a long time on the radio and you're like, hey, maybe I'll check that out someday, this would be a good time to check it out. Just advance warning without sounding too much like a salesman. We have a pretty loyal following, and some of our stuff fills up really quickly. So if you're a travel club member or a new Sports Leisure traveler, Don't think about it too long, because sometimes in a matter of hours, by noon on Monday, there'll be things that already won't be available. So it's a wonderful problem to have, but it's still kind of a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say. All right. Okay, you're listening to the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with the latest edition, Mark has worked feverishly over putting this together for you. Here's the travel news.
Yeah, probably. This segment probably takes more effort than any other part of the program. So thank you, Mr. Romano. Southwest Airlines has reached an agreement with activist investors. And so they've been bugged. You know, they're changing their business model and some like that, all of that kind of stuff. So these folks who have come in and said, hey, we'd like to see your stock price be higher. And so they have done that now. They have made some changes. We'll see how it changes the way Southwest does business over the next 12 to 18 months. Disney says they're going to double their cruise fleet, actually more than that, from 5 to 13 ships by 2031. You're a big Disney fan. Would you take a Disney cruise?
You know, I don't know, you know, and mainly because I think Disney cruise are really designed for young parents with kids of different ages, and I'm one of those ones that's in that senior group now that would like to cruise with a more relaxed, no kids allowed kind of a cruise. But I'm sure that the Disney cruises are very exciting and a lot of fun. Everything that Disney touches is usually top quality. So not for me, but I know a lot of people who will.
Okay, but you would go to Disneyland and be a kid again.
Yeah, I do that. And then that's because I'm on the ground and I can escape at any moment.
I see. Okay. All right. That's legit. New York City has approved a bill regulating hotel safety. This is kind of interesting. It also puts some rules in writing, including how hotel front desks have to be staffed, and that housekeepers have to be equipped with panic buttons and trained in recognizing human trafficking. Welcome to New York City. Also says that hotels have to provide daily housekeeping unless people decline it. They must directly employ core employees. My guess is that maybe some hotels were farming out housekeeping and some other things. So welcome to New York City. Alaska Airlines has a new flight pass. We mentioned this in the headlines. You can fly all over wherever they fly, technically in four states. California, Oregon, Washington, and Utah. I believe that's the four. Although in Utah, the only city they fly to is Salt Lake, and only from a couple destinations, not Sacramento. I printed out the terms and conditions for the flight pass. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pages, two-sided. So if you decide that this is a good deal for you, I strongly recommend that you take the time to read this 9-page, two-sided thing. You buy into a subscription. Depending on the level you buy into, you get either a half flight or a full flight credit per month. So it's a 12-month commitment. You either are signing up for 6 round-trip flights or 12. There are some restrictions. There are some surcharges. The flights aren't exactly free, even though you kind of would like to believe that. I would run as far from this as fast as I could. I think that if you saved any money, the savings would probably be fairly minimal. And this is designed when an airline or an entity like this or a hotel chain puts out a promotion like this, and there's 9 pages of fine print, both sides, so call it 18 pages. What that tells you is that they're protecting themselves in a whole lot of ways, so that you can't rip them off. And who would commit to something like this? I mean, you're not looking to rip off the airline, but you're looking to get a deal. And the airline, I think, has protected themselves pretty well to make sure that the deal you get isn't more than $20 or $30 or $50 a month. Anyways, Alaska's four-state pass, buyer beware. A new museum is opening. A barbecue museum is going to open soon. Guess where it might be?
Barbecue museum. Well, I'd have to say probably Texas.
Yeah, pretty close. Kansas City.
Kansas City, okay.
Yeah, having just been there myself with the group for 5 days where we had barbecue twice. Oh, man, we found a place. You ever have burnt ends?
Oh, yeah.
You know, burn the him. End They're of great. The end of the rib, you know, that's kind of, yeah. Oh, man. And we found a place that just had the best burnt ends, and I'm trying to think of the name right now so I can share it with people, because that's sort of what I'm supposed to do here on the radio, and it's, I've drawn a complete blank. But anyways, when it comes to me this week or next or something, I'll share it. Speaking of museums, the first Nintendo Museum has opened in Kyoto in Japan. So if you were a fan of Super Mario or Donkey Kong or anything like that, it's time to go. The Nintendo Museum in Kyoto, Japan. And finally, Prague, a city as famous for its beer as its historic architecture, is set to ban late-night bar crawls, seeking to end its reputation as a party destination. Prague is a great, great, great city. But like Amsterdam in the Netherlands, kind of has developed a reputation where people, I'm guessing mostly from Europe, because people from the States wouldn't fly there for the weekend, but where people go to unwind and unload and everything. And so I get it. The locals, like locals in some other places, are saying, you know, come here, spend your money. We're not going to ban you from going to a pub or something like that. But we're just going to say that we're not going to allow group pub crawls or companies to sell them between the hours of 10 o'clock at night and 6 in the morning. Seems fairly reasonable to me. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Travel news at the top of every Travel Guys radio show every weekend between 11 and 12. By the way, Mark, have you made plans for dinner tonight?
I have not. Well, I'm going to go home and watch another great World Series game, I hope. Except this time, I hope the Dodgers won't be the winners.
Wow, that was some game, wasn't it?
It was. Wasn't that an amazing baseball game? Holy cow. And I hate the Dodgers, but I still thought it was a terrific game.
Yeah, the guy that got that Freddie Friedman Grand Slam home run.
Yeah, that was just... And he knew it as soon as he hit it. As soon as he hit it, he just stood there, and it's like, as soon as he swung, if you're watching like me and you're not a Dodger fan, you were like, well, crap. Anyway, what's going on at Rudy's?
Rudy's, you knew I was headed that way. Well, Rudy's has a new special for this month. Still going on. Month is still here. It's prime rib and prawns for $32.95, a generous cut of their famous slow-roasted herb-crusted prime rib paired with golden fried prawns, baked potato, warm sourdough French bread. Only $32.95. Available every night for dinner and lunch Tuesdays through Fridays. Also, it's time to start thinking about your holiday party. A great place for, I think maybe you've done this, Mark. Take the employees and have a little Rudy's lunch or whatever. They can help you out. They can plan a barbecue for you. They have a room that'll hold up to 80 people in their banquet room. Prime rib and prawns, $32.95. And of course, as always, the Travel Guy special. If you're not into prime rib, you'd like a just get yourself a nice 6 ounce lobster tail with the fixins, $29.95, the Travel Guy special. See you there, Highway 50 in Hazel and Rancho Cordova. All right, next up, as promised, we're going to talk about Mark getting skewered, and we will not show any videos of this. There will not be any pictures online, I promise you.
Listen, the traffic gal said something at the top. You used to be a traffic guy, didn't you? Didn't you fly in an airplane with Joe Miano or somebody like that? Or
in between radio gigs, and this was pretty common. Disc jockeys who were unemployed or whatever, they would migrate over to, I think it was called Metro Traffic at the time.
Yeah,
and they would work either at the base station, where they would feed reports to the different radio stations that signed up. I was fortunate or unfortunate enough, depending on how you look at it, to get the job following a guy by the name of, what did he go by, Commander Bill Cody
Commander
or whatever.
Bill, yeah.
Well, no, this wasn't that Bill. This was another Bill.
And, okay.
And they put me in the plane, and I flew around in circles. I had a pilot who would take me around. And the radio station got to pick the name of who the guy was that was doing the reporting.
Uh-huh.
And so they decided that I was Tom Slick.
Tom Slick.
Tom Slick.
Tom Slick. And that kind of fits you.
And at the time, the primary station was a little FM station that had a morning zoo, and they were nuts.
Uh-huh.
They were great guys. I know them personally. And I would start a report, and as soon as I got like 10 seconds in, they would start interrupting me. and making jokes.
Right.
It was like they just never really cared much about the seriousness of the report. They just were looking for humor, you know? And there were a couple of times where I stopped right in the middle of the report. They used to play a wild track of somebody hollering, "Shut up."
Uh-huh.
You know, "Shut up." I'd start the report and you, "Shut up." Finally, I says, "Look, do you guys want this report or not?" And they go, "No, that's okay, Tom. Go ahead." And 2 seconds in, "Shut up." So anyway, I just learned to live with it and went about my business and did that. You know, it was a scary job. I did it for 9 months.
Technology, that's a job that technology basically did away with. We don't, you know, we track traffic from the ground now. We don't track it by flying over it anymore. So it's, you know. Anyway, she was using a phrase that traffic was stacked and packed.
Stacked and packed. That's an original one for her there. That's a good one.
Yeah, I thought that was I had to visualize in my brain, and having driven through downtown Sacramento, you know, on that wonderful Lifetime construction project that's going on down there on Highway 50. By the way, that is scheduled to be completed in this century. So just stand by. But anyways, a guy explained to me from Caltrans that it's 5 times more difficult to expand an elevated freeway than it is one on the ground. So he said that's why this has taken so long. And then he said the project would be done, but we got a whole lot more money when the president passed the infrastructure bill a couple years ago, and that's why all this other stuff that's coming out of downtown is being tied to it. Anyway, speaking of riding in a car, I was in Detroit last weekend, and something happened to me that I would like to share so it doesn't happen to you. In our Smarter Traveler segment, you would think somebody like a travel guy would be smart enough not to have this fall into this particular simple trap, but I did. We were in Detroit. We were getting ready to go to dinner, and we walked outside, and one of the guys says, "Well, I'll get us an Uber." And, of course, Ubers for short trips tend to be kind of a little bit overpriced, in my humble opinion. And there was a taxi sitting there. So one of the guys said, "Hey, there's a taxi. Let's just take that. He's right here." And so we went over and we climbed into the cab and we said, "Hey, we're going to this restaurant in Greektown." And the guy said, "Great, it's just a short distance." And 3-4 minutes later, he pulled up in front of the restaurant. And I was kind of the guy in the front seat, so I took it upon myself and said, "You know, what do we owe you?" And the guy said, $25. And I said, $25? And he said, "Yeah, all rides within a 3-mile radius in downtown are $25. And I said, "I see there's no meter in the car." And I said, where is that printed, like somewhere on the door or on the back seat or something like that?" He says, "No, it's just that's the rule, $25. So, you know, I'm with 3 other friends. And, you know, they're kind of looking at me. And it's like, you know, how much of a scene do I want to make over, you know, the difference between $25 and what the fare should have been, which was about $10. And so I get out of the car and I take a picture of the number on the door of the taxi company, and I reluctantly give the guy $25, and we go into the restaurant. I call the taxi cab company the next day. Guess what? There is no 3-mile $25 rule. And looking up the fares, the taxi fares in Detroit, what the flag drop is and where we went, the fare with the gratuity probably would have been $10, $11, $12. So the guy took me to the cleaners. He assessed the situation and decided that we were from out of town and that he could pull this off, and I'm sure it's not the first time he's done it. And I asked him for a receipt, which I, of course, have, as Mark holds up receipts so Tom can see. But the receipt has no identifying information about the company it came from or the driver who wrote it or anything. So the cab number is written on here, but you can read the first 2 numbers, 1-7, but the last 2 numbers you can't read. And so, anyways, I got had. And the rule I broke was I got into the cab and without... I should have noticed there was no meter, and I should have said, "Hey, you know, how are the charges computed here?" And the guy would have told me, and if he told me any mile with charge within 3 miles is $25, we would have said, "Thank you so much. We'll get an Uber." So I'm not a huge fan of Uber because I think it's a little overpriced, but in this case, it would have saved me probably $15. And because Uber, at least, you know what the fare is going to be. And if Uber had come up with 2 miles for $25, you would have said, wait a minute, what's wrong here? So when you get into those situations, you're a visitor, these people are not stupid, You're not the first person they've taken to the cleaners, so just be careful. Buyer beware. Don't be a stupid travel guy.
Well, you know, this holds true in a lot of things that we do in life in regards to hiring somebody to do some work, remodel, whatever, plumbing, heating, whatever it may be, and that is making sure that you know what the cost is going to be before the project begins.
Absolutely.
Know what you're going to pay. Here again, I've seen this with Uber and Lyft recently. My last trip to Vegas, every fare that was posted that I saw on my phone never turned out to be the fare, the actual fare that I was charged. Every one of them was higher than what was originally quoted. And I don't know if that's a trend or what.
Wow. But hey, listen, I want to mention something about Detroit. I talked about this a little bit last week at the top of the show, but I want to mention it again. Both of the presidential candidates actually were in Detroit last Friday night when we were there. And one of them spent some time on stage talking about what a garbage city Detroit was and everything. And I just want to tell you something. I was there, and Detroit has undergone a remarkable renaissance. If you are from Detroit or you ever lived in Detroit, you should be really proud of that city. I mean, they really have made a strong effort there to clean up and fix up. And it's really, as a tour operator, it might be a place I could sell. So, and I would have never said that about Detroit 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. Anyway, that's a short editorial.
Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget now, you can get a link to our special guest and make donations of what we're going to be talking about at TravelGuysRadio.com. It's time to talk about the Wreath Project. Mark, you had a chance to spend some time with Susie Stocking and her fine folks this past weekend. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, as one of the, we've talked about the Wreath Project before. For those of you who don't know, this is something that's been going on for a while. Susie and her gang try to put wreaths or boughs on every grave at the military cemetery, and we are up to, Susie, what is it, 35,000 graves now?
Yes, we need 35,000 for this year.
And these items are $7 a piece, so if you do the math, this little in-house charity project has become a pretty big event. They're going to need almost $250,000 in order to honor all of the folks out there. I was at your big dinner event, your fundraising event up in Winters last Sunday. And Susie, I just have to say, I've been on the planet for a while. I've never been to an event like you had the other night. There was such an incredibly wonderful feeling. You were in a small brewery up there in Winters, and good Lord, it was packed to the gills. And we had a wonderful homemade dinner, and then you had an auction, and there was just what really amazed me more than anything to our listeners. You talk about the purest form of charity and of giving. So Susie and her people fed everybody a nice dinner, Tom, and then we had brisket and stuff like that, and there was no dessert for dinner. Well, the reason there was no dessert is because people bring homemade desserts to the event. And I thought, oh, isn't that cute? There's 8 or 12 or of whatever there is there. Well, the idea is that when the auction starts, they auction off the desserts first. And people paid, I said the purest form of charity, $300-$400 for a dozen cookies. And then they proceeded to share them with everybody at their table or anybody within, you know, an arm's reach. And so that was the way that everybody got dinner, and the project made several thousand dollars. Susie, I have no idea how this has all evolved over the years, but it's absolute genius. You just were shoveling money from people's pockets, and they seemed really happy about it.
They did. It's a very, very happy, generous group that we have, and many of them are veterans themselves, so it really comes from the heart.
How did this start? I mean, how did this idea of when the cemetery started? Your husband told a little bit of the story, but I didn't catch the other night. Whose idea was it to start doing this?
It was actually my husband saw the story about Wreaths Across America on the news, and it was in 2006, the year that the cemetery opened, and he just thought, wow, that would be a great thing to start at this new cemetery. So we asked about Race Across America, and at the time it was too late. It was already December, so it was too late to get anything done. So we got some friends together, and he had gone out to find out how many wreaths they needed for each one there, and they already had 300. So with friends, we just collected enough of the 300 to cover the whole cemetery that year, and he kind of made a pledge that we'll keep doing this every year. So the next year was 1,100, so we started writing a letter-writing campaign in the newspapers and asking people to send donations, and that's really how it started, and we've been able to cover the cemetery every year since it opened.
I'm completely in awe of the fact that anybody would do this, never mind the cause, but the fact that, you know, I mean, that's a lot of money to raise, and obviously it occupies a big part of your life now. One year, it's kind of like this radio show. You know, we finish one on Saturday, and it seems like Saturday comes 2 days later. It's time to do another one. You must feel that way a little bit about this project. You raise all this money and get done and take a deep breath, and then it's time to start again. And as more and more Vietnam vets and stuff are laid to rest there at the cemetery, I really have a great deal of respect for you and all of the folks who were out there the other night. They were all having such a good time. There were a couple hundred people there, and it was just I have never experienced anything like that before, and it really was amazing. If people would like to donate, you have there's a bike run still to go, or a motorcycle run good. Coming up.
Yes, the motorcycle run is coming up on November 10th, and that's hosted by several families in Dixon. And they start at the Buckhorn Grill in Dixon. They have three stops where they pick up cards, and then they end up back at the Buckhorn, and they usually have a very large raffle during the afternoon, and they've made several thousand dollars doing that. And all of those funds go to us. They do all of that just for the Remember Vet.
Okay, so if people would like to participate, we're going to put a link to their website at travelguysradio.com, so you can do that. Or if you, if you had a vet in your family, if you are a vet, if you would like to contribute to this most worthy grassroots project, there will be the opportunity to do so there. And they have a golf tournament during the year. One of my former staff members, the reason I was at the event the other night, she buys a table and she invited me to attend with her. So I just it's just a wonderful thing to be able to honor all of these folks who served our country at some point in time, some of them who I'm sure lost their life in service of our country, others who have just been laid to rest there. What an incredible thing. And then you have a day where you lay all the boughs out on the graves, and then you've got to have a day where you go back and pick them up too. This is kind of a two-part thing. So there are details on how you can participate in that if you would like to, or get involved in this project. We've had a little side involvement every year. Susie, we had our tour preview day in Sacramento this week, so we'll be sending you a check for a share of the admissions that we collect from that to help a little bit with your project. So. Amazing thing that you're doing, my friend. Amazing thing.
Well, thank you very much. And Sports Leisure Vacations has been a big part of our generous donor group for years now. We really appreciate your participation and support. And it was very nice to finally meet you the other night.
You know, yes, it was a hoot. Tom, her husband has he could be a radio guy. He has a take over the room kind of voice. When he starts talking loud, why nobody has any choice but to pay attention to him. So I was kind of impressed by that.
That's
anyways,
great.
Good
That's
luck
great.
To you. Good luck to you, Susie, with the rest of your fundraising. Hopefully a few Travel Guys listeners will kick in. And if you want to be a part of the golf tournament and stuff next year, or the dinner, make a note of their website. You can get a link at travelguysradio.com. Good luck to you again, and I'll hope to see you for some of the fundraising projects next year.
Thank you very much.
You know, if you haven't been during the wreath time, it's certainly something that is heartwarming and something you should do. I have a father-in-law there. I've got a couple of uncles, and so we visit periodically. I'll be going up there early November for my my father-in-law's birthday.
Oh, okay.
We'll go up on November 4th and see Jack and check the place out. And every time I go, man, it's bigger and bigger. Yeah. And bigger.
Well, and you
it's
know, they,
amazing.
Not to so people don't get confused. It's called the Wreath Project. This is not the only city this is done in, by the way. If you go online, you can see that. Obviously, his idea to do it here came from success in other places. But the Wreath
across America.
Yeah, yep. The wreaths got so expensive that they had to go to Bowes because like I said, it's $250,000. For those, I mean, you can only imagine what wreaths, but I said it many times in the interview, so I don't want to wear it out, but what a great project. What a great evening. What a great that they have created so that all of these people are, you know, they want to be a part of this. They peel money out of their pockets. It's $375 for a dozen cookies. I was just in amazement.
I went to an end of the year event for my daughter's synchronized swimming team out of Davis, and they had a banquet and presentations and so forth, and then the same thing, they whipped out all of these homemade desserts, and I go, wow, look, this is interesting. They're going to auction these off, and I thought, well, maybe I'll buy myself a cake or a dozen cookies. And then when I started to see the amounts that folks were bidding, or should I say donating, mm-hmm. to get their hands on them, hundreds of dollars. And then in your event, same thing. When after the people purchased them, they says, hey, go ahead, pass these around,
uh-huh.
you know, and so all the desserts got ate right there on site pretty much. And if it didn't, it went home. It didn't go home with the person who paid for it. They give it to a family with some swimmers, some kids. And so if you have a fundraising event and you haven't taken advantage of this particular way of doing it, you probably should, because it seems to be pretty effective, you know, I mean.
And you might wonder why we would do something like this on a travel program. I mean, because it's not necessarily a travel program item, but it's just something amazing that happens in our community. And sometimes during the week, you know, they're so busy on the air that they don't really have time for stuff like this. Or if they do, it's for, you know, if Kitty can fit it in for a couple minutes or something like that in the afternoon. So it's just nice to be able to recognize things that are happening in our community. And even though they might not fit exactly to the theme of the program, they fit towards having a nice place to live. And I just, the fact that these people are doing this, if they were raising $20,000 or $30,000, that would be something. But $250,000? And then they have to turn around and do it and start all over again. Because next year, it'll probably be more than that. Holy cow.
It will be. It will be. Absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of Kitty, she will more than likely, if she hasn't already, have Susie on the program, because they are acquainted. It's the odds and ends portion of the show. We're going skipping. Would you like to skip along with us? Please do. Some of this is a little bit scary, particularly when we talk about the new Disney stuff, the new line skipping,
mm-hmm. yeah.
at a
price that would probably get Walt Disney's attention. Disney has come out, you know, they already have a go to the front of the line kind of pass. Now they're going to have, of course, there are a number of people with those passes, and they don't just accommodate people. As I've watched it happen, you know, they'll take a disproportionate number out of the line skipping pass, and then they'll go to the poor, great, unwashed people who have been waiting there since Tuesday and put them in too. What this is doing is it's creating kind of another class that's above the previous classes. It's the only one that allows, on the line passes they have now, you know, you pick a time and you say, you know, I want to ride this ride at this time, and they will let a certain number of people pick that time, and then that time closes. With this pass, you don't have to pick a time, you just show up at the ride. And you get priority over everybody else.
Now, keep in mind, I did a little research on this. Keep in mind, you when we're talking about skipping in the line, going to the front, you don't really get to the front of the line. You get to be in a shorter line. It's kind of like people that are handicapped or wheelchairs, whatever. There's a special place that they can go and get in a shorter line with a limited number of their people that they're accompanied with. So as we talk about this, keep in mind the skipping does not take you to the front.
Aha. Uh-huh. It just takes you to the line with all of the other line skippers. Right?
There you go. Kind of like at the airport when you have where you can
TSA
go to the,
and clear the shorter, and all of that kind of stuff.
You get to go to the shorter line.
Yes.
Anyway, well, to be continued.
Yes. Well, except that the Premier Pass at Disney Resorts is going through the end of this year on peak days. The pricing is variable. So this pass is going to range between $129 and $449. So if you go during Christmas vacation, guess which one of those prices you will be closer to. So for those people who have that kind of money and can afford it, good for them. They're going to get the nastiest looks from the other people. But it's just, how do you feel about this? You're a Disneyland guy. Should there be any line passes at all? Should everybody just pay the same price and wait in the same line? Wouldn't the line move faster that way?
Well, it has certainly gotten out of hand, and of course, it all has to do with finding a way to make more out of something that the base price which you used to have. How can you make more off of these ticket prices? You're not going to start raising all the tickets to $200-$300 a day. So you up some special things such as this. This skipping tickets to make some more money. The thing is that this was not Walt Disney's intent. His intent was to allow the common man to come to his park, to share it with their families, to be the happiest place on earth, and enjoy themselves. And it's really, really gone way beyond what the original intent was, but that's not unusual in a corporate business, and especially when the founder moves on and others take over. You know, we don't want it to be a park for just the elite.
Yes.
And my daughter, who is a huge Disney fan, and you and I have talked about this before, the only way to fight back on this kind of thing is with your pocketbook.
Yes.
And if everybody decides, check this idea out, boycott Disney for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
People that go once or twice, three times a year, don't go. Don't go for a year. Everybody, don't go for a year and hit them where it counts and make a statement. You know, it's not going away, especially for your young folks. You can, 2-3 years from now, whatever, you can go to Disneyland and maybe you can go for a lot less. But at some point, you're going to have to put an end to all of this elitism, if you will. Those that have more money than they know what to do with, they're going to spend $500 to skip the lines after they've already spent $300-$400 for a 2-day pass.
Yep. Disney, to give you an idea, Disney World tickets right now for Disney World or the resort parks are a little over $100 a day. You can get a private VIP tour, which of course also gets you to the front of the line, $450 to $900 per hour on top of park admission. Of course, that's for a maximum of 10 guests, so you divide that among yourselves. But if you want to, there's a lot of ways to see Disneyland and its affiliated places with, if you've got money falling out of your pockets, why then I guess you can get a great. I kind of tend to agree with you, though, Tom, that Walt Disney would be rolling over in his grave. I mean, it just seems like and I get it. I mean, they're not the first person. This very press release talks about how Universal Studios does the same thing, but the cost of their upgrades and their line skipping tickets are roughly half of what they top out at $199. So Disney didn't invent this idea. They're not the only person with it. I guess to me it's just disappointing. I lived in a family when we were growing up. Going to Disneyland was completely out of the question. First, how would we get there 400 miles away? And then the price of the park passes at the time, I think, were $22 or $23, something like that. But proportionally to what they are today, and that was completely out of the question. So it just seems to me like there probably are a lot of people, a lot of kids especially, whose dream of going to Disneyland will never happen because besides the cost of getting in, you've got to eat if you're there for a long time. And, I mean, they don't charge you to pee yet, but you got to park. And all of, you know, I mean, all of those things cost money. So I guess it's not for the poor. All right. Thank you, Mr. Romano, for your comments. I know you're a big Disney fan. I want to move on here to one other story. We have another skipping story. We talked about this company, skiplag.com, a couple of years ago about how, and just so that you understand, skip lagging is when you buy an airline ticket with no intention of going to the destination city. This happens a lot with Milwaukee. People fly, they buy a ticket through Chicago to Milwaukee, and United and American have hubs there. So you buy a ticket that from Sacramento to Chicago to Milwaukee, and it costs you, let's say, $400 round trip. But the Sacramento-Chicago ticket would have been $550. You say, now, wait a minute, how can that be? That's a shorter distance. Why would it be that way? Well, that's just airline ticket pricing. So why would you buy the $550 ticket to fly just to Chicago? You would fly buy a one-way ticket to Milwaukee, not check any bags, and save yourself some money. And you just get off the plane in Chicago, you don't ever fly to Milwaukee. So how is that a problem? Well, for the airlines, that's a problem because they're doing all of this finagling with their pricing and stuff, and you're catching them at it. This happens also frequently with Sacramento, San Francisco, pick a third city. Mm-hmm. So people fly. It's cheaper, believe it or not, to fly to Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles than it is Sacramento, San Francisco. So people who need to get to San Francisco are connecting maybe to another airline or whatever. They fly there. They get off the plane. They never get on the other flight. That's skip lagging. You're not taking the entire flight. You have to buy one-way tickets. You can't check bags. There are a lot of asterisks to it, but it costs the airlines money. So United Airlines sued this website and didn't win. But Americans sued them and just recently got a verdict, a $9.4 million verdict against the website, SkipLagged, which is still there. I checked the other day. It's still there. They're still doing business. They're going to appeal this verdict. They say that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. The fact that it's against the airline's rules doesn't matter. That it should be against any sort of tariffs or anything like that. So anyway, skip lagging. So if you do it, be careful. There are a lot of asterisks involved, but the company that was advertising it got caught. So anyway, that wraps up another Travel Guys radio show for this week. We'll be back to join you next week right here on KFBK at 11 o'clock on Saturday. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next time. Right here with the Travel Guys.